Praise the Lord. Amen. He is a good God. Father, we are thankful that we have a God that we cannot flatter. No matter how great our praise, our worship is, it still does not match with your awesomeness. So, Lord, O God, today we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, O God, that you are a good, good God. And all you have dispensed to us is your goodness and your mercies. Thank you, Lord, for the redemptive work that was brought about because of your everlasting love. You paid the full price for our redemption. And Lord, O God, today we are thankful. How much would we have paid to be free? There was nothing. There is nothing good enough to match up with the price of worth, value that you've placed on our lives. Your mercy, your extravagance made it possible. Because you're a generous, faithful, good God. Thank you, Lord, for your awesome love. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to have you here tonight for this time of studying the Word of God together. We've been moving like molasses through this, but it's because it's been good. And hopefully we'll be able to do another two verses. Hallelujah. But to take it up, we have to start from verse 12 again and make certain that I move on. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, who's made us meet to be partakers, who's made us worthy to be partakers. It's a powerful word there, meet. Means that God qualified us. He canoe. God qualified and made it possible for us to be part of those who are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we see that the inheritance is for those who are in light. And we explored what that inheritance is. It is that we are partakers of his divine nature. Amen? And then it says, who hath, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness is Satan and his cohorts. God delivered us from the power of darkness. Part of the power of darkness, let's look closely. The power of darkness is that darkness hides things. So, oh, glorious God, if that is the truth, if that's the case, if darkness hides things, and that's part of its power, and God delivered us from that place, then God delivered us from the place of being hidden. So my thought must be, I must be visible. Amen? I must be visible for the blessings of God flow into my life. God has blessed me. I am in the light. Hallelujah. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated metistemi. Metistemi means that God has transposed, has transported, moved us from one place to another. Amen? So he had moved us from darkness and moved us into light. Praise God. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So where are you? Where are you? Yeah, seated in heavenly places. But based on that verse, where are you? You are in the kingdom of his dear son. That's where he moved you from. He moved you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen? Okay. God help us. Because this is our problem right here. We still think we are of this world. And therefore the issues and the problems of this world have to affect us. That's what our natural, unregenerated mind causes us to believe. But God is saying, listen, I translated you, I moved you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of my dear son. And the kingdom of his dear son, it's all blessing. Praise God. But we grew up, every one of us grew up with the mindset of people thinking that we've got to be sick, defeated, you know, broken homes, all kinds of, if it is bad, well, I guess that's part of our life. But that's not what the Word of God is teaching us. The Word of God is teaching us that I don't have anything to worry about. I've been translated. And as you believe, so it is for you. If you believe that, you know, you live in a troubled world and you are troubled, then that's where you are. But if you believe that you've been translated and you're part of the kingdom of God and you are flowing in the fullness of the currency of the kingdom of God and that you are there to demonstrate as an ambassador, a representative of the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God looks like, then, of course, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen? But the natural mind wants to say, that's wishful thinking. Oh, look at this person. He's a Christian, and he's got all these problems, and that one is a Christian, and they've been a Christian for a long time. They do all, this guy and church are together like this. And look at his life. So it cannot be true. No, I don't know what he believes. Because another Christian is going through something does not mean I have to go through it. You know, somebody was saying to me the other day, well, this thing happened to such and such. I said, I'm not that person. Well, what about this one? This guy, this great man of God, this happened to him. I said, I'm not that. I'm not him. But he believed this. I said, I am not that person, I'm me. And I say, I don't have that. I won't have this. This is what I believe, and this is what I'm going to have. Amen? Hallelujah. You cannot, because somebody else is going through something, assume that you have to go through that same thing. You don't know what God is doing with them. No, you don't. Ultimately, God is the one who decides what's happening there. But I have a role to play in coming into agreement with God's will. Hallelujah. And his will here has been established already, because it says, and hath, that means it had already happened. It's already happened. Amen? I translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. In whom, that's in his dear son, we have redemption through his blood. Apollotrosis, it means we've been adequately paid for. Amen? We've been ransomed. The price for my ransom was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The price of my ransom was God himself. The wages of sin is what? Death. Jesus came and died. Hallelujah. He paid the price. And then he rose again from the dead. A new creature. The firstborn of his creatures. Oh, glory to God. God became man, and man became God. That's, you know, we've shortchanged God. Because if we know who we are, really, we'll walk differently. Because the price that God paid for me was the price of himself. That changes my value, my worth. That means if the enemy is attacking me and my mind, I say, I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. I think like God. I don't have brain fog. God doesn't have that. So I don't have that. God is not broke. Therefore, I'm not broke. I want to align myself with what the Word of God says. And therefore, when I do so, the mountain must move. Have faith in God, or have God's kind of faith. You say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. You shall have what you say. So it does not mean that my pocket is always filled with money, but I say, I am wealthy. And God says, you become what you say. Hallelujah. When God, watch this, when God created everything he created, did he have angels going all over the place, you know, planting trees? No, he just spoke. Yeah? Our problem is, are you ready for this? Our problem is that when we say things, we start looking around to see who's going to do it. Who's going to help me accomplish this? Who? God didn't say he is going to do any such thing. He just says, speak the word only. Like the centurion said, speak the word only, and my servant is going to be healed. Jesus was still where he was. He just said, okay, that's good. And the servant got healed over there. I was, this sounds a little bit off in the natural, but it's perfectly all right. This morning I was sitting at my dining table, and all of a sudden I started thinking, God can solve any financial issue I have right now. And I thought, I stretched my hand out, I thought, wow, he can drop a big diamond this size in my backyard, just like that. And I go and I'll have all the resources I need for the rest of my life plus, just from selling that. Is that impossible for God to do? No. So I don't need for anybody to do anything. All God says is for me to speak. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. In the house of the righteous, wealth and riches. Yeah? God can do anything because he's placed a high value on my life. Praise God. He redeemed me. And he says, I'm worth more than this world. Hallelujah. He has redeemed me through his blood. How? Even in bringing about the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Sins are forgiven. And then it goes on and says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, that statement can throw us off because we're talking about Jesus, right? And then it says the firstborn of every creature, and then we start thinking, I thought Jesus is God. How did he become the firstborn of every creature? I just told you a moment ago. He died, and he rose again from the dead, a new creature. And it is in that image of that new creation of God and man together. That's the image that we're created in. The Word of God says, if any man be in Christ or be in the light, he, that man, is a new creation. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. That's powerful. That we become the image of the invisible God, just like he became the image of the invisible God. Did you get that? We become the image of the invisible God because he is the image of the invisible God. Oh, that's glorious. That is radical. That's just, wow. I am the image of the invisible God. Because Jesus is the image of the visible God, and he's the firstborn of every creature. And I am that. I am that creature. A creature that did not exist before this time, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, that's Jesus, for by him, I don't know if we are ready for this. I don't know. I really don't know if we're ready for this. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Praise the Lord. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And by him all things consist. Now that's powerful. Now, first thought, when the Word of God talks about by him all things were created, and that it was created for his pleasure, we've got to think this way. The Lord gave us a word during the last week or two about the creative power of God. And we talked about that God breathed into us. And Psalm 33:6 talks about how it was through the breath of God that the heavens were created and everything there. But that same breathe is what he breathed into the first man, and that man became a living, speaking spirit. Amen? Now, I believe God is going to help us, because we have all the information we need. It's just that we read it and we don't believe it. The Word of God says that he created. Nothing was created except through him, who is the Word, the first. And we are in that first. And God is saying to us, I've released the creative power into your life. Create. Now, what are we going to create? What are we going to create with his word? We need to make manifest in the earth what his will is in heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. Because our word have to be in agreement with his word. And that's why in coming to this place of the fullness, let me say something here. The scriptures were inspired of God. The writers of the word that were inspired by God sometimes were not living at that level, but they were writing. Are you with me? So there are things that we are going to do today in Christ because we've grown in that knowledge that Paul did not do. But he wrote the truth down. He gave us, this is it. This is the information you need. And he said, I have not apprehended. I didn't catch up with all this stuff. Peter says, oh my, Paul is writing some crazy stuff. it's out there. Just listen to what he's saying. God, I believe that we don't have any, where God wants to take us, we don't have any examples of. We have the word, but we don't have the examples that we can say, okay, this person is doing this. Or this person did that. Okay, so we don't have the examples. I think God is bringing us to this last of the last days, and it's going to be a shocker. Because we come and we recognize what Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is writing to us and telling us, there is power in you. Creative power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say something really wild, because I'm hearing it in my spirit. Let's say, for example, there is a group of people that want to hurt you or something like that. You can see them. And you say, "Forest be," and there's a forest that separates you from them. It's creative power. River. Bridge. And boom, right there. Creative power for deliverance. Hallelujah. There is a lot of things that can happen with us in the Holy Ghost that is beyond our natural mindset, because it's creative. You say, "How is that possible?" Well, God did it for Jonah. A tree grew up overnight. Right? Well, he brought water out of the rock. He struck it first, and then he told Moses, "Speak. Don't strike anymore, speak. Talk, say something." And God is going to help us. Hallelujah. He says, "And by him all things consist." All things consist. All things are put together, synergized together. All things are introduced. That's that word, consist. There'll be an introduction, a favorable introduction of things. It says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." That means, remember one of the things the Lord taught us? That everything can hear you, because everything there is came from God. Yeah? And therefore, everything can obey you. Everything can be spoken to. And the Lord is putting it to us here, "And by him all things consist." Who is the him? The Word. Who is the Word? God, Jesus, yeah? He puts all of this together. And if you take him out of anything, that thing ceases to exist. It will collapse. It cannot stay together. So the Lord says to us, he says, you go to a place and you're ministering, speak your peace there. He says, and if they reject you, take your peace back. Hallelujah. Wow. The awesomeness of the Word of God. And he goes on, he says, and he is the head of the body. He is the head of the body, the church. Jesus, the first, is the head of the body, And the body is the church. Let me put it this way. Do you have the head of a giraffe and the body of a cow? No. We are created in His image and likeness. And basically what the Word of God is saying to us is we represent Him here. We represent Him here. We are like Him. John says, and when we see Him, we shall find out something. We're exactly like Him. My oldest grandson, he was supposed to come tonight. He just came into town and he's going to be leaving tomorrow. Anyhow, I was sitting with him and Mama looks at him and says, "Hey, you got Papa's head." "Oh my goodness, you have Papa's neck." And I said, "Let me see." I said, "Ah, if your head looks like mine, my head looks really good." Yeah, because I can now see it. I can't see the back of my head. I thought my head, back of my head was so flat and whatever, but I'm looking at my grandson and say, if that's the same like mine, I got a good looking head. Well, God wants us to see ourselves in Him. Hallelujah. We look at the Lord and we see us. We're created in His image and likeness. Praise the Lord. And he says, this Jesus, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, just in case you missed it the first time. He became the new creature, the first creature, because He was the first one from the dead. Hallelujah. That in all things He might have the preeminence. In all things, He's number one. And you know what? When we place God as number one in our lives, we place ourselves in number one in His sight. When God says to us, "Give me the first tent," it is His way of saying, "You are giving me the place of preeminence in your life." If God is placed in number two, don't expect Him to be there, because He will never take the back seat. Hallelujah. He's number one. No matter what the situation is, He is number one. Now, that's not an easy statement to make, because, or to do, because there are so many other things that want to take the role of number one. My boss wants to be number one. My family wants to be number one. All kinds of things want to be number one. But you cannot give the role of number one to anybody. He has to be number one. Not my wife, not my husband, not my children, not anything else. Now, that's when the rubber meets the road and it becomes challenging. Jesus is walking with a group of people and says, you follow me? And the guy says, yeah, just wait for me. Let me go bury my family member first. Jesus says, really? If you don't come now, stay there. And you read it and you say, Lord, come on. He's just going to bury his father or his mother or his uncle or whatever. And the Lord says, I'm number one. Give me that place. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God first. Place God first. In your finances, place God first. When you wake up, Him first. Him first. Him first. God first. And what we do is we ask God, please help me to put you in the right place. Because that's what God did. He put you first. Jesus, our Lord, was teaching somewhere, and all of a sudden, he gets this tap. What is it? Why are you disturbing me? Well, your father and your mother, no, your mother and your brothers are outside, and your sisters are outside waiting for you. Jesus says, okay, get this straight. My mother, my brother, my sister, that's the ones here who are seated here listening to me. That tells us the importance that he places on his word. Was Mary important in his life? Absolutely. Absolutely. But why do you have to be out there when everybody is here? For what reason? Now, this is when the rubber hits the road, where our talk and our actions are forced to align. And every day you and I face situations like that. The word of God goes on. For it pleased the Father, verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In him should all fullness dwell. Now, in Ephesians, Paul tells us what this is all about. He tells us that it has to do with loving God. In John, he tells us the same. He says, if you love me and you keep my commandments, I and the Father, we're going to come and we're going to make our abode in you. We're going to come and stay in you. Ephesians 3 says, all the fullness of God will dwell in us bodily because it dwells in Christ. The fullness of God. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. All fullness. That's powerful. What is all fullness about? It's about all that you need. No matter what it is, it's in me. In me what? In me the Word. All fullness dwells in me. Anything you need. God is building his church. God is building his people. And certain things that happen in our lives, trials that happen in our lives, happen because God wants to train us in our walk of faith. You've heard me testify of how God healed the transmission in my car. Because everything here is God. Everything here is the Word of God. If you didn't get that, Mark 11, he speaks to a tree. He's walking towards the tree, expecting to find anything thereon. Yeah? He didn't speak. He didn't say anything. But as he approaches, he finds that it was full of leaves, but not what he really wanted, fruit. So the Bible says, Jesus answered and said to it, answered. How can you answer something if there's something that's not speaking? So the tree was saying something. What was it saying? It's not my season. So the Lord says, since it's not your season, it will never be your season. You die to your roots. And so it was. Things talk. Things hear. That's why you can say to this mountain, and it will move. God will give us opportunities to speak out of our mouths. And when we do so, understand that he is taking you through school. He's sharpening your ability in him. The same one who said, take the water, could give it to the MC. And when the water got to the MC and he tasted it, it was wine. He's still saying, I have the ability to change things. Because all things in me is faith, which is the substance of things hoped for. All things consist. In him, all things consist. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies, in your mind, your enemies in your mind. What does that mean? That we are enemies in our minds. It means that we were resistant to the purposes of God. who were carnal, a carnal-minded person. And God is saying, that's not what I want for you. You were sometimes like that. You were alienated, separated, alien, strangers. Unqualified to have entrance and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now had he reconciled. It reconciled us. That's a powerful statement that God had reconciled us. It simply means that there's no wall of separation anymore. We are not at war with each other. Things are reconciled. But deeper yet, reconciled means that there is no extras, mistakes. Everything is balanced. Everything is accounted for. If you work in a bank, they will talk about reconciling. If you're an accountant, they'll talk about reconciling. You reconcile the books, this and that. This came in, this went out, this is the balance. Everything is in proper order. This book passes. God reconciles us. In other words, brings us to that place where nothing is missing or nothing broken, nothing is slacking, everything in it is in its proper order. So what do I do when I pray? I declare the word of God. Thank you. That though I was one time, some time back, alienated an enemy in my mind by my wicked works, I thank you, Lord, O God, that you have reconciled me, and therefore wickedness is no longer part of my life. I have the mind of Christ. I am not alienated from who you are. I am not an enemy. I don't have a carnal mind. I have the mind of Christ. I'm blessed of the Lord. The book of Colossians is such an extraordinary book. It's a book that, you know, when you want to pray, you just sit down or kneel or whatever, and you read the verse, and you proclaim that verse to be true in your life. This is who I am. This is what you're saying about me. I'm reconciled. He says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I find no blame here. There's nothing to reprove here. You're just like me. Oh, my Lord. That's, wow. That's, Lord, what you're going to do? Yes. If. if. if what, Lord? I'm that already. I'm that already. Am I not? Yes, you are. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't stop saying what I say about you, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This is why I came. This is why I was anointed, to tell you who you are, and you got to continue with it. Keep at it. Don't quit. Wow. But I just blew it. God says, we've dealt with that already. Tell me who you are. I am righteous in Christ Jesus. I am saved. I am delivered. I stand strong and mighty because God's mind is operating in me. I am operating as a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God says, that's it. Unblameable. Wow. You stand on the word of God. What God says, not my feelings, not what anybody else says. I don't care what they're saying. What I need to do is come into agreement with the word of God. Yeah, you may be right in the natural, that yeah, I messed up, and yeah. But by the word of God, God says something about me. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. I'm not going to believe my bad press or your press. I'm going to believe his press. Hallelujah. Because what he says is never fake news. What I say and what everybody else says is fake news. But I'm going to agree with God. And as long as I agree with God, I will become what I say. Amen? Praise the Lord. Trust that you and I received something from the word of the Lord today, and that we declare this to be true. It says, which was preached, it is the hope of the gospel. Don't move away from the hope of the gospel. That you died because he died. That you rose again because he rose again. That he ascended because you ascended. He ascended. I ascended. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, so am I too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing that is destroying yokes and removing burdens. Thank you, Lord, O God, that our mind is renewed in you and that your hand, O God, is elevating us. Father, we thank you, the Lord, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed at his death, that this day, by this grace, we are presented before you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in your sight. Thank you, Lord, that there is no unrighteousness in me. There's no unrighteousness in your sons and your daughters. This day we continue in the hope of the gospel. We don't quit. We don't receive the lies of the enemy. We say yes to your will, yes to your word, and we're established in righteousness. Father, do creative things through your people. Thank you, Lord, O God, that there's not a need in our lives that's not addressed. Because out of you, out of your word, all things are made. May we see things made in this last of the last days for your glory and honor. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let us honor God with our givings tonight. Expressing thanksgiving to the Lord. I was out with some sons a few days back, and one of them started talking to me and said, Pastor, do you remember talking about houses that can be built because you spoke a word? And this was way back. I don't know how many years back. It says, house will be built by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. The days are coming when people's houses are going to be taken away from them by the government. But because you know this truth, you will live in houses that you've not built. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, I'll be the first person to tell you that some of this stuff I'm talking about sound really off the wall. I didn't lose my mind. I'm just talking God talk. Amen? Just God talk. Praise the Lord. He is a good God. We need to just trust Him. And He will do amazing things through our lives. Let's continue to honor God with our giving. And we'll pray in closing. Praise God. Father, we are thankful for grace. We're thankful for your amazing blessings. There's no limit to what you can do. And Lord, oh God, we align ourselves to your word tonight. And we say, make of us what your word says. Help us become everything you've declared possible. You said in your word that you will do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, even the power of your love. So we are thankful that in this last of the last days, great and mighty things are going to happen with your sons and your daughters. And therefore, they need not be afraid or be concerned about anything. For the God who is greater than all lives in them. We are your people, Father. Help us to dismantle the works of darkness and to see your purpose is established in the earth as it is in heaven. Blessings, O God, we receive from your hand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, bless you all, those of you who are listening online on YouTube and Facebook Live and Reddit and whatever other platforms. Know that God's love is reaching out to you right now. God wants to do incredible things in your life. We bless you in Jesus' name, and we look forward to seeing you on Friday for the prayer meeting. God bless. Good night. Now, those of you on Zoom, let me say hello to you guys real quickly. Amen.